The Holy Gospel for Christ the King Sunday is written in John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Jesus replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So here we are launching into the holiday season. I hope you did all have a good Thanksgiving, full of gratitude and rest and enjoyment of your families and friends. But now as we move into the Advent and Christmas this coming Wednesday with this theme, Small Dancing Light, I have one question, just one question. And that is, are we done with the elections yet? You know, after all, how much of our attention this election has taken when there's something so much bigger going on? And which this, the last Sunday of the church year, gives a name to. The reign of Christ the King over all things. Listen again to this message from the Revelation to John that Beth read. "Grace to you and peace from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, and the ruler of the kings of earth." Wow, that's a tall order, isn't it? Notice that? The ruler of the kings of the earth, that Christ is a sovereign power greater than all elections can elect, greater than all rulers, greater than all principalities and powers of this world. In the end, all powers are less than the power of God. And that's the basis for believers to hope in all difficult and challenging times. And forgive me, because this past week I struggled to get to plumb the depths of this reality of Christ as the King of all, and I just couldn't get there. It's so overwhelming, and what it means for us here now, that I'm going to have to leave that work to you at lunch today. Maybe the sermon can help you at least get started. But as you know, Hollywood has spent billions of dollars to make us visualize global destruction through natural and human disasters. Religious filmmakers, too, have spent millions of dollars trying to visualize the rapture, the apocalypse at the end of time. All coming from a belief, by the way, that Christ's return to earth will be a return of vengeance, wrath, and destruction. Now, Barbara Rossing, professor of New Testament at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, and she was a pastor in Minnesota and then chaplain of Harvard University after that, she's written a book about our culture's current fascination with apocalypse called The Rapture Exposed, The Message of Hope in the Book of Revelation. It would be worth your reading as a small groups in any groups that you're in. In it, she states at a starting point that the word rapture is not in the Bible, in fact. This unbiblical interpretation of the Revelation according to John originated only 160 years ago in England with a pastor named John Darby, who pieced together some pieces of scripture in response to a vision a teenage girl had to prove that this is how the world would end. And there would be not just one second coming of Christ, but two second comings of Christ. The first to take a few faithful Christians back to heaven so they wouldn't have to witness it. Then he'd come back and create havoc and destruction all over the earth. And if you've watched some of the Left Behind movies, you know how horrible that vision is of that. But in his several mission trips to the United States back in the 1860s, during the Civil War era, right, Darby caused it to catch on among unthinking, well-meaning Christians who were going through the devastation of the Civil War and all that that felt like the end was coming soon at that time in history. And by the way, it's a belief system that has been debunked by all Christian scholars of all denominations, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, yes, even Baptist and non-denominational theologians have all debunked this notion and stating that it is unbiblical and does not come from the Bible in the sense of the true message of Revelation. So she proceeds to lay out a more accurate biblical understanding in this book of the apocalypse from Scripture. And by the way, she first reminds us that apokalypsos, is a Greek word, and it means pulling back the curtain. Pulling back the curtain to reveal what was not apparent and what's behind the scene that you see. Pulling back the curtain to reveal what's going on behind the scenes. And to grasp what was being revealed in Revelation to John, it helps us to look back at the situation our first century brothers and sisters of faith were in. They lived in a time when the Roman Empire was full force, full strength, and with all of its violence, corruption, torture, and death, that's how the Pax Romana was kept, by the way. The peace of Rome was with violence, corruption, death, and even these critical, awful forms of execution like crucifixion. They were good at thinking up ways to kill people. And of course, the early Christians refused to submit to Rome. They paid their taxes, yes, but in this one critical point, they refused. For them, they were not willing to proclaim Caesar is Lord, which you were required to do as a Roman citizen. For them, and this was the earliest creed of the church, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And in fact, the seven churches in Asia Minor, now Turkey, to whom this revelation to John was a witness, and there is the angels around the throne for the seven churches in Turkey, all of them were at various places in their struggle with the power of Rome. Some were kind of giving in, and some were still in open rebellion and paying for it dearly. Now, the first half of John's message in Revelation was words of support and challenge for the early Christians in those seven churches. And then it's followed by a symbolic, scathing critique of the Roman Empire, which is called Babylon. That's a code word because this book was written as a code book for early Christians. So Rome is Babylon when you read it. And it's a critique of all the beastly brutality of Rome. And John declares that this Roman way of life was destined to crumble and fall into ruin. Now, it took 400 more years, but the choice was laid out to these early Christians in these seven cities between a vision of life lived with brutality, oppression, hate, and fear as the vision, over against God's vision of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven with its healing of the nations and the restoration of all creation to what God had meant it to be from the beginning. Listen to this beautiful vision. This is the true vision of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth had all passed away. The sea was no more. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Wow. What a different vision from the vision of Rome, huh? Think of it. In the season we're about to begin, Advent and Christmas, we prepare for this reality that God comes into this world, chooses to come into this world, born in the flesh, Christ the King, born in a barn even. And then at the end of the story, we see Jesus on Good Friday enthroned on a cross. But that is where the ultimate power of the universe resides. Not in rulers and powers, but in the self-giving, reconciling love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what the early church was being told when the curtain was pulled back on the persecutions and the destruction that they were living with. And they were being told to see in that pulling back of the curtain, the apocalypse, God's vision of hope, love, and peace, not through more mayhem and destruction like the world engages in, but through self-sacrificing love. So it's interesting when we see this scene from our gospel reading today of Jesus standing before Pilate, how little power Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, actually has. No power at all over the kingdom of Jesus, the coming kingdom, that kingdom, he says, that is not of this world, but coming steadily into this world to overcome all that is contrary to the reign of God, God's love and justice and peace. And you know, if Pilate were able to but see it, this was an apocalyptic moment for him, a pulling back of the curtain to see who really has the power. Do you remember in another passage where Jesus is standing before Pilate and Pilate is frustrated? And he says, Speak up, Jesus. Don't you realize that I have the power of your life in my hands? And what was Jesus' reply? Nobody takes my life. I give it. The power of self-sacrificing love. So as Luther would challenge us to ask, what does this mean for us in our challenging, disruptive times? And like I said, I couldn't quite get there this week, so I'll leave that to you at lunchtime. But the curtain has been pulled back for us as Christians, pulled back here and there just enough. You've been able to see it, certainly in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but now you can see it day to day in your own life and in the world about you, even in the secular powers of the world, when they are obedient to the love and peace that's brought forth in Christ. And the more that you live in Christ's love, the more you recognize where the Christ, the King, is already showing up in the midst of personal and world disasters, especially. He's showing up already. And you and I are called to witness to these moments and places where you do see love, forgiveness, self-sacrificing love being revealed. Those are the signs of Christ beginning his reign, even now. So yes, continue until Christ fully returns at the end of time, striving for peace, peace in your family, peace in your community, peace in the world. Strive for those things as servants of Christ until he returns. And then be assured, though, that your witness, as small as it may seem, your acts of goodness and justice and forgiveness and grace and mercy to those around you, be assured that those little things, as small as they may seem to you, each act of goodness and grace is more powerful than all the governments of the world that over time are going to fail anyway. I love this image. It's one of my favorite pieces of art. Salvador Dali's St. John's Christ on the Cross, above the cosmos. And we've been studying Colossians in the Women's Bible Study on Wednesdays, and these words just have a great deal of power for me that speak of this Christ. I want to read just a bit to you here, and you can see these words. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus on the cross, the visible image of God. The firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth are created, whether thrones or government or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him, the living word of God in Christ, and for him, the living word of God in Christ. And furthermore, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things in him hold together. Isn't that a good, hopeful message? When your life is in chaos, when the world is in chaos, to remember, pull back the curtain a little bit and you will see in him, in reality, all things are holding together. Maybe we should repeat that phrase over and over and over again during our day, especially when you feel some chaos in the moment. In him, all things are holding together, even when I can't see it. In him, all things hold together. In him, all things hold together. God is doing a new thing. The curtain is being pulled back more and more, day by day. World crisis by world crisis, personal crisis by personal crisis, until the day that Jesus Christ is fully revealed as Lord of all, the Lord of all things. The Lord of the cosmos, the Lord of the church, and day by day, more and more, Lord of you and of me. Christ the King.